Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Wonder. Remember to wear masks and stay 6 feet apart. Book your trip today at ExploreSt.Louis.com.
Howie, 43 years ago, Star Wars premiered.
And so did Robert Irwin Jewelers. It's our 43rd anniversary, and to celebrate, we have a multi-million dollar diamond sale going on right now.
All diamonds, no lightsabers?
All bigger, brighter diamonds, including what we're known for, diamond engagement rings.
Free financing?
We always have free financing, but this month, get 0% interest for up to 24 months with approved credit. Don't miss our anniversary sale going on right now. Bigger, brighter diamonds, Robert Irwin Jewelers. Check us out online at rijewelers.com.
Hey, fellow citizens, do you have a plan for how you're going to vote? You should. You can vote in person or by mail. Go to vote411.org to find out rules and deadlines for your state. We all have a voice and a vote to cast. Vote. Make it count. Go to vote411.org.
Does learning a language feel like this?
No habla español?
Hablo.
It's hablo?
Yes.
It's hablo.
Bom dia, like good day, good morning, I think.
I can say, je m'appelle David, but that's probably it.
When you learn a language, you want to actually use it. Babbel is designed with that goal in mind.
This year is my year to get fluent in Spanish, and Babbel is definitely gonna help me do that. The app is so easy to use, and it's so practical. It helps you learn things that you will actually need.
Since my husband is from Guatemala, I'll apply what I've learned in Babbel to our real life situations.
I've tried other language learning apps and nothing really stuck. Babbel's been a complete game changer for me.
Hoy es miércoles y el clima está muy bueno afuera.
Estoy con fome. Yo no tomé café de mañana.
Je suis des États-Unis et d'où viens-tu?
Now try Babbel for free. Just go to babbel.com to start learning a new language today. That's BABBEL.com.
92.9 FM ESPN presents the area's only national columnist who spends his afternoons bringing unique perspective to Memphis radio. He'll make you think. He'll make you laugh. He'll sometimes make you change the station if children are around. And he apologizes in advance for that. It's 4 o'clock. Let's get into it. This is the Gary Parish Show.
I'm here. My name is Gary Parish. Speaking to you from Memphis, Tennessee. Bennett Dole producing the program. Glad he's with me. Glad you're with me. Hope you're getting through the day as best you can.
Daddy lost most everything on horse, whiskey, and Wendry.
And I hope to God you didn't take Georgia plus the points based on the idea that Nick Saban's not coaching the Alabama Crimson Tide tomorrow night, because there is now a scenario where Nick Saban is coaching the Alabama Crimson Tide tomorrow night. His Thursday test that was handled by the SEC lab came back negative. And if his Friday test comes back negative and his Saturday test comes back negative, the first positive test from Wednesday will be deemed a false positive. And guess who will be allowed to be on the sideline inside Bryant-Denny Stadium?
Coach Nick Saban.
The great Coach Nick Saban. So we have drama in Tuscaloosa. We'll talk about it momentarily. First, quickly, let me set this afternoon's schedule for you. 420, Dan Wilkins is going to join me, national columnist, USA Today. I'll allow him, invite him, to help us get ready for a busy Saturday in college football. Dan Walker will be here from USA Today in the next segment. When I finish that, I'll take a break, come back, do four notable stories, 444, at which point I'll discuss four previously undiscussed stories, among them playoff Kershaw struck again last night. God, dog. The three-time Cy Young winner, future first ballot Hall of Famer, mostly cruising through five innings. Then things fell apart in the sixth, and now the Dodgers are down 3-1 to the Braves. Facing elimination, we'll talk Braves Dodgers around 444. Meantime, the Astros have cut the Rays 3-0 lead to 3-2. Carlos Correa with a walk-off last night. Game 6 starts in about an hour. We'll get into that a little later on this hour. A former Los Angeles Angels communications director is now facing federal charges related to the death of Angels pitcher Tyler Skaggs. Crazy story. The communications director was basically the 27-year-old pitcher's drug dealer. That seems not smart. Tell you more about that just before 5 o'clock. And we had dueling town halls last night, surprisingly. And I mean this sincerely. I was shocked by this. More people watched Joe Biden than watched Donald Trump. Nobody in the television industry expected that. I'll share the numbers with you during four notable stories, 444. 5 o'clock, Jeff Calkins, just like always, then I'll eventually do dinner to go. I got a Dateline preview, and then we'll get out of here. So that's the rundown. We got a lot to get to, but I wanted to start with college football because, like I said, we got a big Saturday on tap. Long as COVID-19 doesn't get more in the way than it already is. We got Kentucky-Tennessee at 11 o'clock. It's on the SEC Network. We got Memphis-UCF, 2:30 on ABC. We got Texas A&M-Mississippi State at 3 o'clock. On ESPN, we got North Carolina, Florida State, our old pal Mike Norvell, 6:30 on ABC. And then we got the big one set for 7 o'clock. It's number 2 Alabama versus number 3 Georgia inside Bryant-Denny Stadium on CBS, America's most watched network. It's the network of stars. And Bennett, there's gigantic news out of Tuscaloosa this afternoon. Nick Saban has tested negative for COVID-19.
This is starting to happen like a little bit, where the positive tests are turning out to be not positive. Now, we don't know yet with him. He's still got to have a couple, like one or two more, right?
He has to have two more negative tests that are handled by the SEC-mandated lab. Gotcha. I'll read you the statement from Jeff Allen, who is an official with the University of Alabama. He released a statement out of the Athletics Communications Department earlier this afternoon. Here's how it reads. Quote, Coach Saban was evaluated again today by Dr. Robinson. He continues to be asymptomatic and without fever. We are continuing to follow the SEC Return to Activity and Medical Guidance Task Force protocol for testing asymptomatic positives. A PCR test was repeated Thursday by the SEC-appointed lab and was negative. For clarification, the initial positive result came from an outside lab we've used to supplement the SEC-mandated testing. He will continue to remain in isolation and receive daily PCR tests should he have three negative PCR tests through the SEC-appointed lab, each 24 hours apart. The initial test would then be considered a false positive pursuant to SEC protocols, and Nick Saban would be allowed to return. So, here's what that means. His Wednesday test was positive, but it was handled by an outside lab that Alabama is using to supplement the SEC testing. In other words, one of the things we've learned, if we didn't know it before, we've learned this week, Alabama is testing every day. Not every SEC school is testing every day, certainly not every school in America. But Alabama is, they have the resources, and they have a 68-year-old coach. They're testing every single day. They're trying to be as careful as possible and catch any outbreak as quickly as possible. So the SEC mandated lab is only handling the test that they do in accordance with SEC protocols. The supplemental test, the extra test, if you will, are being handled by a different lab. And the Wednesday test that Nick Saban had was handled by that lab. It wasn't an official SEC test. It was just a supplemental test. It was a positive test. Now, Nick Saban said from that moment and has consistently said since,
I have no symptoms. I don't have a fever. I don't have a cough. I don't feel bad. But the test did come back positive. And when the test comes back positive, the protocols kick in. I have to isolate immediately. And now we start ramping up the other testing. And so we knew yesterday that he would take a Thursday test and the entire football team would take a Thursday test. And then we would wait for those results. I don't believe we've gotten word about whether there's any positives within the team yet in terms of players. But this release from the University of Alabama says that Nick Saban's Thursday test has come back. And it's a negative. So he needs another negative PCR test through the SEC-appointed lab today. And then another tomorrow. And these tests have to be administered at least 24 hours apart. But if all three come back negative, and he's already reportedly one-third of the way there, his first test would then be deemed a false positive. And then Nick Saban would be allowed to coach the Crimson Tide tomorrow night. How about that?
It's crazy.
How about that for drama?
Mm.
Desmond Howard, for what it's worth, former Heisman Trophy winner who now works with ESPN, tweeted at 9:06 this morning, quote, "I believe Nick Saban will be on the field coaching tomorrow. Enjoy your Friday." So that seems to suggest he knew where this was headed. And it seems pretty clear, based on Alabama's release and the words of Nick Saban over the past few days, that they do believe that the first one was a false positive. Now, they did what they had to do. It's a positive, and so you have to isolate and then test again. But you could tell the way that they haven't closed the door yet on Nick Saban coaching on Saturday night, that they thought this might be a false positive. In fact, when we got the news during this show 2 days ago, what did I tell you? I said when Mike Norvell tested positive, immediately, Florida State said Mike Norvell is positive. He will not coach this weekend. It was just done. I noticed that Alabama didn't go that far. They said Nick Saban has tested positive. They never said anything about the game. We started reading the SEC's protocols. And Dan Wolkin actually had a story posted early today at usatoday.com that detailed exactly what we're talking about now, a scenario where Nick Saban could be cleared to be on the sideline for Saturday night's game. But we didn't know at that time that he had already tested negative at least once. We now know that based on the release from the University of Alabama. Again, Nick Saban's Thursday test handled by an SEC-appointed lab came back negative. If his Friday test comes back negative and his Saturday test comes back negative, Nick Saban will be allowed to coach tomorrow night because his first test would then be labeled a false positive. What do you think, Bennett? Was Nick Saban's first test on Wednesday a false positive, or did Nick Saban sit down Wednesday night and demand COVID-19 leave his body?
You know, I think if anyone had that power to demand that COVID-19 leave their body, it would probably be Nick Saban, but I'm going to say false positive.
Probably a false positive, yeah. But I'm not ruling out the other option, which is Nick Saban just sat down and had a good talking to with COVID-19 and said, all right, it's time to get out of my body.
Yeah.
And then COVID-19 said, okay, Coach Saban, we're going to leave your body. And that was that. Either way, the bottom line remains the same. Nick Saban sitting here with one negative test. If he gets two more before kickoff, he will be allowed to coach Alabama against Georgia. I went and looked at the point spread. It had not moved back in Alabama's direction yet, but I would imagine if it came down a point and a half based on the idea that Nick Saban probably won't be there, you would think it goes back up to around six, maybe even a bigger number, based on the idea that Nick Saban might actually be there. Can you imagine tomorrow night, like, we get this day of football. We're all watching Tennessee, Kentucky, and then we're watching Memphis, UCF, and we're watching A&M, Mississippi State, whatever it is we're watching. And then it's like 2 hours to Georgia, Alabama, and we're still waiting to see if that positive test.
The drama.
We're still waiting to see if the test comes back. And then it's like 90 minutes, and there's my buddy Adam Zucker and the whole SEC on CBS crew, and they're like, Nick Saban it's 90 minutes from kickoff. Nick Saban remains isolated at home waiting on a test result. And then, like he gets it an hour before the game, so then we got helicopter footage on Nick Saban's SUV
pulling into Bryant-Denny Stadium 20 minutes before kickoff. Like, I doubt that it goes that close to kickoff. I hope it goes that close to kickoff. I would enjoy the drama playing out live on CBS, America's Most Watched Network.
Yeah, I don't think Nick Saban or necessarily Alabama are really worried about TV ratings per se. They're going to do just fine regardless, but if you wanted to really build up some suspense and get people fired up to watch this game.
If you want to maximize that pregame show, let's start the pregame show with some uncertainty continuing to surround the status of Nick Saban for tonight's game that kicks off in 1 hour. Like, I think we'll know well in advance of kickoff. But I hope we don't. I hope it's like, all right, Georgia, Alabama, scheduled to kick off in 1 hour. Nick Saban remains isolated at his home, awaiting a test result. If it is positive, he will stay there. If it is negative, he will rush to Brighton. I said earlier, in his SUV. Forget that. Let's send a helicopter for Nick Saban.
Yeah, and I want to see someone with the athletic department bust out of the building, holding the test.
I've got the result.
I've got it.
I've got the result. Put Coach Saban on the helicopter. And then we've got television footage of Nick Saban flying in a helicopter, landing right at midfield inside Bryant-Denny Stadium. Like, if we want to turn this into a spectacle, we could turn it into a spectacle. Okay, hypothetical question for you. Bennett, you are a diehard Alabama fan who lives in Alabama. You were born in it. You live in it.
Yeah, roll damn.
Roll damn tide. Like, you got the tattoo. You named your kid Bear, all right? Mm-hmm. The whole deal.
Okay.
Your kid Bear, and by the way, Bear's a girl.
Okay.
Just play along.
All right.
Bear's 17 years old. Pretty little girl.
Mm-hmm.
Tomorrow, after being about a week late on her period, she has to take a pregnancy test. Same day Nick Saban has to take a COVID-19 test. Only one of them can come back negative. What do you do? And you get to decide.
I'll go with the I'll make Bears negative.
You'll make Bears negative?
Yeah.
That's clearly the sensible thing to do.
Yeah.
But there's got to be at least one Alabama fan who'd be like, I'm ready to be a grandfather anyway. Make Coach Saban's negative. Bear, you're positive. I'm going to be a granddad.
Yeah.
I guarantee it is one.
I think there's probably one.
Probably lives in Red Bay or something.
Yeah.
Probably lives in, where do you think that person lives?
I don't know. What's some of the surrounding areas around Tuscaloosa?
I don't know.
I'm not familiar with the area.
I don't know either. What if that? How good would that be? You are at, that's a game show. All right. Your 17-year-old daughter, Bear, is 2 weeks late. We're going to give her a pregnancy test tomorrow. We are also going to give Nick Saban a COVID-19 test tomorrow. Only one of them can come back negative, and you're in charge. What do you do? Any sensible person says, let's make Nick Saban's positive. Let's make little Bear's negative.
Yeah.
She don't need to be bringing a kid into the world at the age of 17. Statistically, not a good idea. Doesn't mean it can't work out for you, but just statistically, it's not a good idea. The numbers are not in your favor anymore. They're not in Bear's favor, and they're not in Bear's kid's favor. It's a cycle of statistical nightmares.
Mm-hmm.
So the sensible thing is you just play one game without Coach Saban, and you let Bear's pregnancy test come back negative. But I promise you, there is somebody in Alabama who'd be like, you know what, Bear, you're just gonna have to have a kid. We mm-hmm. need Coach Saban.
We need Coach Saban.
Kirby Smart's got a nice team at Georgia.
They do. Yeah.
Kirby Smart's got a nice team at Georgia. We need Coach Saban tonight, and I'll help you raise that little kid while you go to junior college.
I think it's true. Yeah, I think you're right there.
Man, I can't wait.
Good luck, Bear.
Good luck. Hey, Bear, good luck.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Good luck.
But sounds like it could be a tough life regardless.
Yeah. At this point, Bear, you probably got the odds stacked against you anyway.
Get out of there.
Yeah, we're gonna chalk you up as a statistic, and we'll just get Coach Saban inside Bryant-Denny Stadium for tomorrow night. So that's the big news out of Tuscaloosa. There is a scenario now, perhaps even a likely scenario now, where Nick Saban is coaching Alabama tomorrow night. I'll talk to Dan Wolkin about it next. You listen to the Gary Parrish Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Maui 43 years ago, Star Wars premiered.
And so did Robert Irwin Jewelers. It's our 43rd anniversary, and to celebrate, we have a multi-million dollar diamond sale going on right now.
All diamonds, no lightsabers?
All bigger, brighter diamonds, including what we're known for, diamond engagement rings.
Free financing?
We always have free financing, but this month, get 0% interest for up to 24 months with approved credit. Don't miss our anniversary sale going on right now. Bigger, brighter diamonds, Robert Irwin Jewelers. Check us out online at rijewelers.com.
Hi, this is Lauren Choate with Choate's Air Conditioning, Heating, and Plumbing. The leaves are changing colors and the holidays are coming, which means it's time to get your discounted fall furnace tune-up for only $60. This tune-up includes a full 20-point maintenance inspection of your heater's safeties, a free heat exchanger camera inspection, and a carbon monoxide test. The fall is also a great time to get your air ducts cleaned for cleaner air and purify it with our ABCO air purifier, which helps kill viruses, germs, mold spores, and odors that may be circulating through your home's air. Go to our website at choateshvac.com to redeem a $50 off air duct cleaning coupon and call us today at 347-8086. That's 347-8086 to schedule your $60 fall furnace tune-up. And remember, Choate's, let our family serve your family.
This is Gary Parrish reminding you that the Smile Center is where I go to the dentist. It's where my entire family goes to the dentist. And the reason it's great is because the folks at the Smile Center take care of you and treat you like family. You don't feel like you're going to the dentist as much as you feel like you're going to see friends. So if you're looking for a new dentist, look no further than the Smile Center. It's Dr. Mady Sadeghi's place at 1941 South Germantown Road. They are open and treating patients, and needless to say, they're taking all of the necessary health precautions to keep you and your family safe. Yes, the Smile Center is currently accepting new patients, and they're offering Zoom teeth whitening specials with free consultations through the end of September. So if you're unhappy with your smile, the color of your teeth just isn't quite right, let the Smile Center fix that for you. Appointments are available right now. You can schedule one by calling 901-309-1333. Again, the address is 1941 South Germantown Road, Suite 101, and the phone number is 901-309-1333. That's the Smile Center on the web, smilecentermemphis.com.
Progressive presents The Sounds of the Old World.
The year is 2019, and someone is waiting for a table at a restaurant.
Thompson, party of four. Thompson, party of four. Thompson, party... Oh, there you are.
This has been The Sounds of the Old World.
Brought to you by Progressive, where drivers can still switch and save like it's 2019.
Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
Walgreens makes Medicare easier by saving you money and peace of mind with copays as low as $0. Visit Walgreens.com/Medicare today to see how. Walgreens, we make Medicare easy. $0 copay on Tier 1 generic drugs when enrolled in a plan with Walgreens as a preferred pharmacy.
Experience the real taste of Italy with today's Perks Deal. Half off $20 gift certificates to the Crazy Italians restaurant. Get your deal at GetMyPerks.com.
Hey, fellow citizens, do you have a plan for how you're going to vote? You should. You can vote in person or by mail. Go to Vote411.org to find out rules and deadlines for your state. We all have a voice and a vote to cast. Vote. Make it count. Go to Vote411.org.
You've heard of the Carpenter Art Garden, right? And all the wonderful things it does for the underprivileged young people in Binghamton? Well, now the Carpenter Art Garden hires kids from the neighborhood as staff. That's due in part to a grant from Triumph Bank. And this summer, a group of volunteers from Triumph Bank will be working with the Carpenter Art Garden to teach a 6-week course on financial education and literacy. Think about all the things you know that you take for granted. How to set up a checking account, how to use a debit card, how to budget, and how to save. Triumph Bank understands it's impossible to build any kind of financial future without these basic skills. So they've put together a team of volunteers, which includes the CEO of the bank, Will Chase, by the way, to make sure the kids at the Carpenter Art Garden have the knowledge and the access that they need. That's why Triumph Bank is a different kind of bank, and that's how the people at Triumph Bank treat everyone who steps through their doors. So go to their website at triumphbank.com. They're invested in the community and in making banking easy for you.
Love getting prices that are lower than low on food that's fresher than fresh? Then shop at Kroger. We give you more ways to save on the fresh you love with tools like the Kroger app, where you can find personalized coupons on top of weekly sales, giving you prices that are lower than the everyday low. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Now through October 18th, earn 10 cents off per gallon of fuel for every $30 you spend at Kroger. Just shop Fridays through Sundays with your digital coupon. Restrictions apply.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parish Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Stretch my hands to you.
Life like, this is what your life like. Try to live the life right. People really know you push your buttons like type right. This is like a movie, but it's really very lifelike. Every single night, right? Every single fight, right? I was looking at the gram and I don't even like lights. I was screaming at my daddy, told me it ain't Christ-like. I was screaming at the referee, just like Mike. Looking for a bright light. Seagull, what your life like? Riding on a white bike, feeling like a sight bike. Pressing
playoff Kershaw struck again last night in the sixth inning, but was it his manager's fault? Maybe. There's some numbers to suggest that. We'll get into it in the next segment. Jeff Calkins will be here a little after 5 o'clock, but right now he's a national columnist, USA Today. It's Dan Walken. Please make him the big interview.
Award-winning writers, athletes, coaches, the biggest names in sports. It's the Gary Parish Show Big Interview. Presented by Fleming's Prime Steakhouse and Wine Bar. Using food and wine to create memorable times.
Damn, what is better and funnier than an entire Alabama fan base now sitting around rooting for negative Nick Saban COVID-19 test in advance of tomorrow's kickoff?
Yeah, like that's where we are. And then, of course, like the rest of the SEC, I guarantee you, is going to come up with 1,000 conspiracy theories about what lab they're using or the test they're using or whatever. And it's true. Like a false positive with these PCR tests is fairly rare. Is it possible? Sure. But Nick Saban tested positive for COVID-19 on Wednesday. And apparently, according to Alabama, he tested negative on Thursday. So he will, I guess he's already taken the test today. I don't know when we'll know the results of that. And then if he takes the test again tomorrow and tests negative on that, that would be 3 in a row, which means per the SEC's guidelines, he would be allowed to coach.
And I'll give you credit. You had a story, even before we knew this was a possible, if not likely, scenario, detailing all of this in advance of Alabama's statement today that says he already has one negative test back from Thursday. Did you just write that to cover all the bases, or did you have a hint that maybe we could be headed down this road?
Well, I don't want to take credit for writing it. Paul Meyerberg had the byline on it, but I will say that at our morning meeting today for USA Today Sports, I did bring it up because Saban last night on his radio show had talked about wanting to coach Saturday. And, you know, that just sounded absurd to me. And we were talking about in our meeting, like, you know, is this possible? What do we need to do? This is going to become a story today. I just had sort of a feeling it was going to gain momentum. And because I was getting ready to write a column that was going to, you know, potentially rip people because sometimes if you're a columnist, you have to do that. But, you know, look, I mean, if he's got 3 straight negative tests, then, like, you have to say maybe it was a false positive. But I will also say firmly, in no way, shape, or form should Nick Saban be coaching if he's positive. Like, if there is confirmed evidence that he had COVID-19 this week, he should not be on the sidelines, period, end of story. But, you know, if they determine it was a false positive, then what are you going to do?
Right. And listen, you are exactly right. If they determine that it was a false positive and say that he has tested positive negative 3 straight times, 24 hours apart, handled by the SEC office, there will be by mandated labs, there will be people who scream that it is some sort of conspiracy, cover-up, whatever. But aren't the stakes just way too high for the SEC and everybody else to try to turn this into something like that? I just can't imagine this is the place you start trying to get creative.
You would think, right? Now, I also believe that there is a discussion to be had around, well, why is Nick Saban being allowed to test his way out of quarantine while players who may not even have COVID-19, who are just through contact tracing not allowed to play, why are they not allowed to test out of it? Now, I think that's a legitimate question, and that's something that I think people need to sort of address. Now, having said that, that's in the SEC handbook. It's – or what – not handbook, but whatever the protocol they put together for this season, they determined that three straight negative tests that you could participate. But if that's true for Nick Saban, why isn't it true for a wide receiver who is quarantining because they got contact traced?
Is there a good answer for that?
No.
Right.
I mean, not that I know of, other than Nick Saban is Nick Saban.
Is it possible that they could, you know, that apparently the positive test was not one of the SEC mandated tests. It was a supplemental test. Is it possible that anybody could test out of the supplemental test?
Well, that's something that Alabama would have to address. I don't know exactly. I know that Alabama's been testing people every day, and that's how they came up with this Saban positive, was through their daily testing program. And I guess they are not using the one the SEC is using. But, yeah, I mean, it does sort of shine a spotlight on the inconsistency of the testing and people using different labs and all that stuff. And could there be mistakes? And certainly possible. I mean, this is totally new territory for everybody. But, you know, the reason why, at least my understanding, is the reason why people go into quarantine is because there is an incubation period, and the viral load can be different. And, you know, that just to be on the safe side, you just get people in quarantine and for a period of time, and then at that point it's safe for them to come out. But for Saban, it's clearly a more aggressive approach. And the fact that he tested positive, for 99.9% of people, the assumption would then be that they're positive. For Nick Saban, it's let's keep testing him until he's negative. Not saying right, wrong, or whatever, but that is a different approach.
Talking to Dan Wolkin from USA Today, I've heard people argue both sides over the past 24, 48 hours of how much it matters that Nick Saban is or is not on the sideline for a game against a fellow top five team. In your opinion, how much difference does it make if Nick Saban is on the sideline as opposed to Nick Saban's not on the sideline?
I think there's probably some difference, although the truth is Saban's way more involved with the defense than he is with the offense, and it's not like the defense has been good with him there. So I don't know how much worse it could get, really, whether he's there or not. But I think more than anything, it would probably be reassuring to, you know, Steve Sarkisian if Saban's there. Steve Sarkisian is the guy who was going to take over head coaching duties. He's got to play Georgia, you know, in kind of pinch hit role. That's a lot of pressure, and you know that if you lose the game, like, it's all going to fall on your shoulders, and it's totally unfair, and it's not reflective of his ability, and it's not even his responsibility to do that, but you know that he would get blamed. And that's kind of just a crappy position for somebody to be in. So, you know, mainly for Steve Sarkisian, I think it's probably good that Saban would be there if he does test negative two more times.
Let's play hypothetical for a second and assume that that Nick Saban's not there, even though I think it's perhaps more likely than not at this point that he will be there. Alabama loses a close game. Nick Saban's not there. How does the playoff committee handle that if Alabama then wins out after that loss?
Well, the good thing for Alabama in that scenario is they'd probably get another crack at Georgia again in the SEC championship game, so they would have the opportunity to play the team that they lost to, and so that would be big, regardless of Nick Saban being there, but probably especially in this circumstance. On the other hand, look, the selection committee for all these teams is going to have to know who was missing on particular games in evaluating these teams. And that goes for players, and I think to some degree it would go to the coaches as well. I don't think there's any way to really quantify or define what that means to the committee or what it should mean, but it's in the back of your mind. It's part of how you assess what happens on that particular day. And so if it's different when Saban comes back to the SEC championship game, then I do think that you do probably have a little bit of a pass on that.
Talking to Dan Wolkin from USA Today, what do you make of the matchup in general? I mean, it is two undefeated teams. It's two teams that have mostly been impressive this year, although not without a flaw here or there. Just Georgia-Alabama as a matchup inside Bryant-Denny Stadium, how do you see that unfolding?
Well, I have been really impressed with Georgia. And their defense kind of cutting against the grain of the season where nobody can tackle, nobody can stop anybody. Teams kind of look out of shape, just not real physical because they haven't done the tackling in practice. Georgia's gone the other way, and they look really good on defense. And one of the things that I think will be key in this game is the ability to generate pressure. They've had, I think, 10 quarterback sacks through three games. And I think that's the one thing that could really be disruptive to Alabama's offense. Alabama's going to score points. They've got incredible playmakers, and Mac Jones has done a really good job. But if Georgia can get pressure on him, if they can get him on the ground a couple times, if they can hurry his decisions and throws – I do think that would, I think, give Georgia an opportunity to maybe just get one or two more stops than Alabama would get. And so I kind of went in thinking Georgia, and just kind of the uneasiness of this week probably has moved me even further to that side.
Meantime, there's a big game inside the Liberty Bowl tomorrow afternoon, Memphis-UCF. And listen, I guess I've been in the business ever since this streak began, but Memphis has lost 13 straight games to UCF, and I did not realize it was that lopsided. How big of an opportunity is this for Memphis, specifically the first-year head coach Ryan Silverfield?
Well, this is not a UCF team that is probably as good as the ones who Memphis played in the AAC championship game those couple years, and I think certainly Memphis had opportunities to win a lot of those games recently and just wasn't able to close the door, wasn't able to hold the lead. I think the circumstances are all different. You know, right now it's Josh Heupel versus Ryan Silverfield. It's not Mike Norvell versus Scott Frost. So it's totally different. But I think for Memphis, you're trying to stay alive a little bit. You lost a game at SMU that certainly – could have won, but just didn't make the plays at the end. And if you lose this one, you're probably really not in the conference championship race. If you can win this one, then you're still in the hunt. So I think that's probably the way they should look at it rather than trying to break some streak against UCF that most of those players had no part in.
Kentucky-Tennessee inside Neyland Stadium tomorrow. Tennessee looked good for a half, or at least played well for a half, against Georgia, then it all fell apart. They are sitting as a 6.5-point favorite right now, but I've seen some people pick Kentucky to win this game on the road. What do you make of Tennessee-Kentucky?
Well, I still think that Tennessee's the favorite, but their offense is not operating at a very high level. They're just okay. Garantano, the quarterback, he's got some flaws, and he has not really blossomed maybe in the way that some people hoped he would. Kentucky's a very good defensive team for the most part, and look what they did basically shutting out Mississippi State and Mike Leach's offense. So I don't think Tennessee is going to try to throw it quite like that, but it's certainly a game Kentucky, they're never easy to play. I pick Tennessee to win, but their offense just has not really blown me away this year.
And the last game I want to ask you about is Texas A&M Mississippi State. Mike Leach got off to a nice start with a win at LSU, or I should say it looked like a nice start with a win at LSU. Now it looks like anybody could beat LSU. They come back and have lost two straight games. Didn't score an offensive touchdown last time out. What is the status of this Mississippi State situation right now?
Well, it's going to be a roller coaster, and that's the way it is with Mike Leach. You know, some weeks they're going to look like this incredible offense that can't be stopped, and it's going to look very, very easy. And against certain teams, the matchups aren't going to be as good. And you saw Kentucky even Arkansas, you know, was able to play, you know, sort of this umbrella coverage and essentially bait their quarterback into throwing interceptions. And that's where that's where Mississippi State got absolutely killed against Kentucky, is they threw six interceptions as a team. Leach played two different quarterbacks. They both had trouble hanging onto the ball. And, you know, I don't know who he's going to play this week or what it'll look like exactly. But, again, if you're a quarterback and you throw the ball 60, 70 times the way Mississippi State's going to want to do, if six of those are interceptions or even four of those are interceptions, you're not going to win. So just got to be really careful with the football. And you know, it is definitely it's the full Mike Leach experience. And we've seen it many, many years. It's playing out exactly the same way.
And then one last thing before I let you go. There are multiple SEC games postponed. We're now looking at the Patriots having another positive test. There's some scenario where maybe they aren't playing their next game. How much more difficult is it going to get as the colder months enter football season, just trying to get through this on a week-to-week basis? Because it does at least feel like the shutdowns of facilities, the number of them are increasing seemingly by the day.
Well, this is always the problem. When we said there was going to be a football season, when we thought about how this could work, it was always in the logistics. Because when you have even a couple people get sick, it's going to spread through your locker room. And then your contact tracing, you're going to have just rolling groups of guys who get it. And it just makes it hard to play. It makes it hard to prepare. Teams have had multiple games postponed against multiple different opponents for various reasons. And it's tough. It's not ideal. But college football and the NFL decided that they were going to try to play football in a pandemic. And so once you do that, then, you know, this is just what you got to deal with. And it's not what anyone has in their mind as a vision for what they want their college football career or their college football experience to be. It's this kind of just every week you're just sort of hanging by a thread on whether you're going to play, and then you do play, and you're playing in front of 10,000 people instead of 100,000 people. Like, that's not what anybody envisioned, but it's where we're at. And, you know, the powers that be have just decided that they're going to push through and do this no matter what. And so you wanted it, you got it.
That is Dan Wolkin from USA Today. Make sure you're reading him, usatoday.com. He's on Twitter. Go follow him, at Dan Wolkin. Thanks, buddy. Have a good weekend.
All right, man. We'll see you.
That's Dan Wolkin from USA Today. When we come back, playoff Kershaw struck again last night. I was rooting for the guy. I know that it must be hard for some people to muster sympathy or empathy for somebody who's made, like, you know, in excess of $200 million throwing a baseball every 5 days, but I feel bad for the guy. Like, when you are so otherwise awesome and this thing is connected to you and then you play right into it the way he did last night, I did feel sick for the guy. And now the Dodgers are down 3-1 to the Braves after having the best record in the major leagues in the regular season. They could be eliminated tonight. We'll talk baseball next. You're listening to the Gary Parrish Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Hey, Tennessee, sports betting is almost here, and FanDuel Sportsbook is giving you an exclusive offer to get started. Right now, FanDuel Sportsbook is giving users $50 in free bets just for signing up. You heard that right. They're giving you $50 in free site credit to register and verify early. No deposit required. FanDuel's America's number one sports betting site for a reason. They've got odds on all the biggest sports and a simple, intuitive app that makes it easy to find the bet you're looking for and then lock it in. And unlike other sports books, once you win, FanDuel gets you your cash in as little as 24 hours. Why? Because it's the right thing to do. But right now, the right thing for you to do is download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and check out their fantastic app for yourself. Just be sure to sign up and register using the promo code Bennett, B-E-N-N-E-T-T, so they know we sent you. When you verify your account, you'll receive $50 in site credit when FanDuel Sportsbook is live. I downloaded mine, got my $50. I'm pumped about sports betting coming to Tennessee. And you need to check out the FanDuel Sportsbook app because it is awesome. If you're an expert gambler or someone who's new to it, it's really easy to navigate. So download the app and enter the promo code Bennett, B-E-N-N-E-T-T, to get $50 in site credit when FanDuel Sportsbook is live. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Site credit is non-withdrawable and expires 7 days after receipt. Terms apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. For problem gambling support, call 1-800-889-9789.
College football, it's the game you wake up early on Saturdays for. Even though kickoff isn't until 7, the game where the Goodyear blimp becomes a Hall of Famer. The game that goes just beyond school, spirit, fandom, or love of the sport. It's the game where the comebacks happen. It's the game where anything can and will happen, as long as you have the drive. Because college football is the game that moves you. We get it because it moves us too. Goodyear, more driven.
Right now, Allstate has almost as many ways to save as there are types of music. Save for being a new customer. Save more for adding DriveWise. And save even more for driving safely. Visit Allstate.com or contact your local agent to get a quote. Find out how much you can save today. Allstate, now that should be music to your ears.
Not available in every state. New customer savings based on early signing discount. DriveWise is an optional feature. Savings vary based on how you buy. Subject to terms and conditions. Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
Hey, it's Eric Hasseltine from the Memphis Grizzlies here to tell you about the best place to get a pre-owned vehicle in the entire Mid-South, and that is DeSoto Auto Sales. You can visit them on the web at DeSotoAutoSales.com or simply head on over to 5704 Goodman Road in Olive Branch. Why DeSoto Auto Sales, you say? Well, their prices are fantastic. They've got over 250 cars on the lot, and they range in price from $8,000 to $30,000. Most of these cars are still under their factory warranty, so you're getting a great vehicle. They've been inspected 5 times before they hit the lot. And it's their selection. The lot is always changing. They're trying to get them out of there at the best price possible for their customers so they can clear the lot for more vehicles to come. Trucks, vans, sedans, SUVs, and they can finance you on the spot. They've got financing managers to explain all of your options. It's all there at DeSoto Auto Sales. You can see the entire selection at DeSotoAutoSales.com. Get a great car at a great price. What are you waiting for? Go to DeSotoAutoSales.com or hop on down to 5704 Goodman Road in Olive Branch and visit DeSoto Auto Sales today.
Memphis is known for its barbecue, but only one Memphis area restaurant actually serves world championship barbecue, and this is Gary Parrish reminding you that it's Memphis Barbecue Company, which has reopened at 50% capacity. They've instituted sanitation procedures greater than what the CDC and health department require, including a 3-step approach to sanitizing tables so you can get back inside right now. So go order online at memphisbbqco.com.
BuzzFeed reporters Anthony Cormier and Jason Leopold couldn't believe what they were seeing. Secret government documents showing suspicious banking transactions all over the globe.
FIFA, the Olympics, gold, diamonds, oil. Every sector of the economy is besmirched by this dirty money.
Get the full story on suspicious activity inside the FinCEN files. A new podcast available on radio.com, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your shows.
T-Mobile for Business knows saving time and money is important for your business. That's why we're introducing Microsoft 365 on us, now included in our best business plans. With Office apps, Microsoft Teams, cloud storage, and more, Microsoft 365 on us gives you the tools you need to run your business. Stop by a T-Mobile store today. Qualifying plan required. Contactless to activate. One license per line. Max 2 per account. Third-party terms apply. See T-Mobile.com for plan details.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today? Picking up an online order? No problem. It'll just be a moment. You know, we've got more convenient ways to shop besides our same-day store pickup. You can also shop from your car with our free curbside pickup. Or you can even shop completely from home with our free next-day delivery. Just order by 10 p.m. on AutoZone.com. Getting the job done just got easier. Free next-day delivery on eligible orders. Restrictions at AutoZone.com.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Heard of the job? Dial #529 on your cell. #law, that's all.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parrish Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
It's Tokyo and I'm Godzilla. Playing blackjack versus death gun on the car dealer. Just bought a demon, I'm screaming about the car dealer. The last temptation of Mike, but I'm a God digger. Tell me as a bob that the God don't need a job. And if I did, the oligarchs would be missing, murdered, and raw. This is Bonaparte and he paid with Tucson. And they went on a world conquest, tearing your Bonaparte. Michael remained murderous, but still virtuous. Wait to kill the petty, you found out the church services. Not a holy man, but a moral in my perversion. So I support the sex workers unionizing their services.
Jeff Calkins is going to join me a little after 5 o'clock. We'll get back into the big Nick Saban story then. If you missed it, Nick Saban's Thursday test came back negative. If his Friday test and Saturday test both come back negative as well, he will be, while he remains asymptomatic, then his Wednesday test that was positive will be labeled a false positive. And Nick Saban will be coaching the Crimson Tide inside Bryant-Denny Stadium tomorrow night when they take on number 3 Georgia. So that's the big story in college football. We're waiting on test results. That's where we're at right now. We're waiting on test results. Jeff Calkins will be here a little after 5. Right now, I got 4 stories I'd like to discuss.
4 notable stories at 4:44. Gary tends to lose focus, start telling stories, and forget what he wanted to talk about at certain points every afternoon. So we've developed a device that ensures he'll touch on important things you need to know each day at this time. This is GP's 4 notable stories at 4:44. Story number 1.
Playoff Kershaw struck again last night, Bennett.
Yeah, that's unfortunate.
It is unfortunate. Obviously, this is Clayton Kershaw, who is one of the most accomplished pitchers in the history of Major League Baseball. He is a 3-time Cy Young Award winner. He will be a first ballot Hall of Famer in Cooperstown someday. But time after time after time in the postseason, that version of Clayton Kershaw just does not match up with the regular season version that has been historically great. So every time he pitches in a postseason game, people start waiting for him to not be great. And in his first appearance this postseason, he was great. Second appearance, he was great. Last night, he was good for a while, and then it all fell apart. I don't know if you were watching it because we had a lot going on last night. Town Hall, we'll get into that in a moment. But I had television on one town hall, television on another town hall, and then baseball on another television. So I'm sitting there watching, and it's 1-1 heading into the 6th, Dodgers-Braves. And Kershaw at that point has allowed 1 run on 4 hits. He's only thrown 71 pitches. So I don't really have any problem with you throwing him back out there in the 6th. He's not cruising, not dominating, but it's 1 run on 4 hits. Through 5 innings, only thrown 71 inches. So Dave Roberts sends him back out there. And Ronald Acuna singles, infield single, nothing crazy. Robert gets the bullpen up, but leaves Kershaw in. I'm still fine with that, I think. Still fine with that. Freddie Freeman doubles. Acuna scores. So now it's 2-1 Atlanta with Marcell Ozuna coming up. And that's when, if you're Dave Roberts, you got to go get him. You got to go get him then.
Mm-hmm.
You're now behind. Ozuna had homered off him two innings earlier. And I didn't know this in real time, but I only read about it this morning. But the Dodgers have all of this information in real time. So many bullpen decisions are made off of analytics. So not only had Ozuna homered off him last time up, two innings earlier, that not only had Kershaw just given up back-to-back hits, including a double that scored a run, Ozuna this season hit .356 against lefties and .333 off curveballs. Now, what is Clayton Kershaw? It's a lefty who relies on his breaking ball. There is nothing in the numbers that says this should go any further. And Roberts lets him go. What happens?
Disaster.
Ozuna doubles. Now it's 3-1, and the blowout is on.
Yeah.
Clayton Kershaw takes another postseason loss. And now the updated numbers, I mean, they're just hard to ignore. Like, I do think the context matters, and I do think the label is not completely fair. But, like, at some point you can't argue with the numbers.
No. Nope.
Here's the numbers. His regular season ERA throughout his career, 2.43. 2.43. That's a career year. That's not like he had that in a year or two or six. Career ERA, 2.43. Awesome. You get him in a division series or a wild card game, goes up to 3.68. Get him in a league championship series like this one, goes up to 4.84. His World Series ERA is 5.40. The deeper the season goes, the worse he gets. And his postseason ERA from the sixth inning on, where did it fall apart last night? Sixth inning? Sixth inning or later in his career in the postseason, Clayton Kershaw's ERA is 7.31. So you got all these numbers working against you if you're Dave Roberts. He's just given up back-to-back hits. You're in the sixth inning. He's just given up back-to-back hits. The guy coming to the plate homered off of him two innings earlier. And the guy coming to the plate hit 356 this year against lefties and 333 off curveballs. You can't let Kershaw face him. You have to go get him then.
Yeah, I think that's true.
It's possible because it got really bad after that. I mean, the Braves end up winning the game 10-2. It's possible it goes bad no matter what, but you can't let Kershaw throw a pitch to Ozuna there. That's just a mistake. And at some point, we talk about playoff Kershaw. When does playoff Dave Roberts come into it? Like, at some point, do you ask the question, okay, this guy is amazing in the regular season, but we're not getting done what we need to get done in the postseason. So, listen, the Dodgers can come back from this, although history's not on their side. When you are down 3-1 in a series, in the history of baseball, you lose that series 85% of the time. So you come back and win it 15% of the time. But the odds are really stacked against the World Series favorite right now. A game five is scheduled for tonight in primetime. So we'll see if the Dodgers can live to see another game. But last night, you know, 1-1 in the fifth, 1-1 going into the sixth, and then Dave Roberts and Clayton Kershaw, they just let that thing get away from them.
Story number two.
In the meantime, the Astros won earlier in the night 4-3 to bring that series to 3-2 and force a game six. Carlos Correa, walk-off homer in the ninth. And I know the Astros are, like, the bad guys of baseball. Like, they're cheaters. They cheated. Like, there's no getting around it. They cheated. And so everybody's rooting against them now? I am oddly rooting for them. I want them to win because I think there's more. The deeper you've got that, like, nobody knows anybody on the Tampa Bay Rays. Nobody knows who they are.
Nobody gives a crap.
Nobody.
I'm sorry.
And, like, it's a fun story and a super interesting story if you dive into it. Like, if I gave you a homework assignment and I said, I want you to read these 10 articles about the Tampa Bay Rays, and you read them, you'd come out of that going, ooh, man, this is really interesting stuff. Like, this is a fun team. Like, it'd be amazing if this group of guys wins a World Series. You could get that. But nobody's going to do that. It's just surface-level stuff for non-baseball fans. And nobody knows anybody on the Tampa Bay Rays. Nobody. At least with the Astros, you got guys you know. You might only know them because they're cheaters, but you know them. Mm-hmm. And so the Astros are just a bigger story. Maybe not a better story, but certainly a bigger story. So I was glad when Correa hit the homer last night, if only because it gives us more baseball tonight. Like, you know, it's about to start. Yep. First pitch here in about 10 minutes. So we get another Astros-Rays game. But ask me who I'm rooting for tonight. Astros again. But to stay alive, they're going to have to beat Blake Snell, and he's been great in this postseason. Remember, this is going to be wild. Blake Snell could end up starting game one of the World Series. He is the person, do you remember, in the preseason, made the video and was like, I'm supposed to make this much this year, and now they're going to cut it down to this, and now I'm going to go risk my life.
Oh, yeah. He made he was on Twitch or whatever. Yes.
I'm going to risk my life, bro. $7 million.
I don't like that dude.
He's a lame-o. I'm going to risk getting the Rona for $7 million. Meanwhile, like 20 million Americans are out of work, and you got this guy like complaining that it's too risky for him to work for millions of dollars. Mm-hmm. Like, you got people working at Kroger for whatever you make at Kroger, risking their lives just as much as he would be risking his, more so. And he made that Twitch video. Bro, I ain't pitching, man. I ain't pitching like this. Well, just like I told you the day that video came out, he'll pitch. And he has pitched. He's pitched well. Now he's got a chance to win a World Series. But the idea that you would start at that place, I ain't pitching, bro. I ain't catching the Rona for $5 million.
Yeah, that's go Astros.
To go from there to this is a pretty wild turn of events. So Astros, Rays, first pitch game six coming up at 5:07. And then, of course, we get Dodgers, Braves, first pitch. That's scheduled 8:08.
Story number three.
A federal grand jury indicted former LA Angels communications director Eric Kay on charges related to the 2019 death of pitcher Tyler Skaggs. He is being held responsible for the death and is facing, if convicted, this communications director, former, life in prison.
Jeez. What? I don't remember this.
Okay, well, Tyler Skaggs, 27 years old. I think the Angels were playing in Texas. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they you know, didn't report to the field on time. You know, they sent somebody to the room, found him dead in the hotel room. It was unknown for a while how he died, although it became pretty clear that it was drug-related shortly thereafter. We now know that he choked on his own vomit. Choked to death.
Yeah, I remember this now.
And they found oxycodone, ethanol, fentanyl in his system. So they immediately started trying to figure, okay, where did he get these drugs? And what they found was that the communications director, like Bennett, if you were trying to book Mike Trout for the radio show, you would email this guy.
Right.
This guy was his drug dealer.
It
is insane.
Yeah.
The communications director for the Angels was Tyler Skaggs' drug dealer. It would be like if Jason Wallace from the Grizzlies was providing illegal drugs to Tyus Jones. I don't know. It's like what? It's like so out of bounds. Like, what are you talking about? How can you be the communication director and the drug dealer? Like, pick. I don't care which one you are, but you can't be both. Mm-hmm. I mean, the communication director for a Major League Baseball franchise, and you've got a player with a drug problem, and you are supplying the player with the drugs. And then he ends up dead. So, like, ugh.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.